Scripture reading today is Matthew 22, verses 1 through 10, the parable of the wedding banquet. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets, gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests."
As we continue our family worship series, Playdate with Jesus, I want to ask you a question. What if you hosted a playdate and nobody came? You'd be pretty mad, right? You'd be pretty disappointed. Well, in our text today from the Gospel of Matthew, the king has gone to great lengths to throw a party, a wedding banquet for his son. As we analyze parables, we look always for where God is in the parable. God is the party thrower. Jesus is the bridegroom. In this parable, it's a lavish affair. Food, decorations, a whole bunch of people invited to come, and the ones on the A-list turn him down. "Gosh, King, I really appreciate that you have a wedding coming. I'm really excited about that. I have things to do." "Gosh, look at the time, Jesus. I have to do my hair. I have to play some video games, maybe instead of coming to your play date and... thanks, but no thanks." Some people get so angry at being invited to the party that they get really mad at the messengers who've come, and they even get violent with them. Then when the king finds out, "I invited you to a play date. I invited you to a wedding banquet for my son. And not only did you not come, you had to get violent with my messengers." Then the king exacts a little revenge. You can really tell this parable comes from Matthew because as we've talked about, the Gospel of Matthew was written compiled at a time when Judaism was really separating from Christianity. We'll talk more about that in a second. But Luke tells a similar story about a great feast, and there are no fatalities. The people who are invited by the host turn him down. The host is angry. The host is disappointed. But there are no fatalities in Luke's account. Matthew's community was wrestling with what did it mean to be Jewish in light of Jesus? What about non-Jews who believed in Jesus? Were they in or out? And when we eat together, do we keep kosher? The time that Matthew's gospel was being written, this separation was really occurring. It was getting harder and harder to be both Christian and Jewish. And then in the year 70, the temple was burned by Roman soldiers as part of the end of the Jewish wars. Matthew's gospel was compiled around the year 85. So 50 years after the crucifixion, the resurrection, those early events. If the early Christian era was about what it meant to be Christian and Jewish and how the community could live together, the next 20 years or so were a time when Christians and Jews are trying to learn how to live separately. Matthew's community had come to understand Jesus as the one with an authority of new Moses to fulfill the law and interpret it and expand it. More and more Gentiles were being converted, and they did not have the same history with or reverence for Jewish customs. Christianity's separation from Judaism was about how Jesus could be understood as fulfiller of the Jewish law and Savior for all, Jews and non-Jews alike. That's why Matthew's accounts sometimes make Matthew sound a little like a fire and brimstone sort of preacher. The sheep and the goats burning down the village. I'm not saying Jesus didn't say it. I'm saying when Jesus said anything like this, Matthew's community would have been quick to preserve it that way. That would be the lens through which Matthew would interpret the Jesus traditions. When Luke was writing down what Jesus said, when Luke was compiling those traditions, his version is a little different than Matthew's, a different community, a different version of the story preserved. Where then is the good news in Matthew's playdate? Well, one piece of good news is God is really fundamentally recognizable as a playdate host who invites over and over. When we look at the parable, we see that God is an inviter, just like the owner in the parable of the workers in the vineyard parable, where the owner goes and invites workers at the start of the day and at noontime and all throughout the day and at night toward the end of the day. Invite, 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 please come. Here we have a king who invites over and over. He gets refused multiple times and then flings open the portals to bring in all he can find, the good and the bad, the ones society thinks are outcasts. He doesn't cancel the playdate when nobody comes. He increases the guest list so that there's no shortage of bread and wine, no shortage of food, no shortage of games, no shortage of grace. Author John Dominic Crossan talks about the parable of the feast as containing some essential elements of part of the teaching of Jesus. It's radical to the max. No one gets elected to this playdate. No one earns an invitation because of class or status or gender or age or political party or the way they look. God's kingdom is one of radical egalitarianism, Crossan says. Open to all at any time, any place, any circumstance. It's how the world would be run, Crossan contends, if we only realized that God, not Caesar, is on the throne. So, who comes to the wedding banquet? Who comes to the play date? My review of the Gospels would indicate that it looks something like this. Lepers would come to the playdate. A man born blind. Tax collectors. People who were known to be sinners. A woman who suffered mightily from illness and the doctors had no cure. Poor people and sick people. Even the occasional Pharisee, like the one who came to Jesus by night and said, how can I be born again? People who are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And that descriptor right there, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, describes most people I know. In short, your average online, Sunday, Facebook, watching, streaming congregation. Good people would be there, like the little children Jesus invites to come to him, and even people society labeled as bad would be there, like the thief who said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say to him? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. So the king has brought in all the guests who will come, and that's part of the good news here. What about once the party starts? Well, once we've been invited in, is there a certain way that you're expected to act at a play date with Jesus? Are there any behavioral rules, or is it a dog-eat-dog, survival of the fittest sort of thing? If you've ever been to a birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. You've seen that dog-eat-dog survival of the fittest party, haven't you? If we've been invited to such a great play date as this, I think that there are, in fact, ways that we should be. We should come to the banquet ready to party, ready to put on Christ. There's no way that we would come to a wedding banquet for the king's son. We would never come to a play date with Jesus and criticize the cooking or start throwing cake at people or demand to have our way. We wouldn't fight over which seat we got at the craft table at the play date. Here, it's instructive to consider Luke's version of this story. In Luke, Jesus tells this story when Jesus is sitting at a dinner, at a play date, if you will, and he's watching how the guests are competing for places of honor at the table. And he says this: when you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Hey, give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that your host, when he comes, may say, "Friend, move up higher." Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. That sounds like a play date rule to me. Be humble. Be a servant. Then Jesus said to the host of the party in Luke, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, it's so cool because he's talking to the person who's giving the party. And he says, when you give a party, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, when you give a play date, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. And then Luke tells the story of the great dinner where the host invites a bunch of guests who refuse to come. And then the host goes out and invites everyone. And the house is filled with people. In Matthew's version, if we were to have Nathan keep reading after he stopped, he would have told you about another playdate rule. He would have told you that one of the guests who did show up, the one of the guests that was invited to come and actually came, did not have a wedding robe. And he got kicked out of the party for that. A playdate rule violation. At first it's puzzling because I'm pretty sure Jesus does not care what we wear. Jesus most especially calls us to invite the poor, the ill-dressed, the ones who don't have fancy clothes, the ones who don't have money to buy presents at the playdate. What's up? What's going on here? Well, I did a little ancient wedding research, and it turns out people who came to a wedding banquet in their dirty clothes from work, they were actually given a wedding robe by the host, like a dinner jacket from a maitre d' if you forget, so that the guest isn't embarrassed. Part of being hospitable that when a guest comes and they don't have what they need, you would give them what they needed. So in this parable, it's not that the person was poor. After all, the bridegroom always ate with people like that. It's that he was given a robe and he didn't put it on. kind of an insult to the host, kind of refusal to accept his hospitality, a playdate rule violation. Like if you've been offered cake and ice cream and decided to throw it all around the kitchen. Like if you started a fight during the game they played. People who've been invited to the playdate, to the banquet. People who've been loved, forgiven, and redeemed. They would never respond like that. What is the proper response to an invite like that? We come ready to party, ready to throw our arms around all the guests, maybe metaphorically from 6 feet away, ready to put on Christ. We wouldn't be prideful or mean. We'd be grateful and loving. How do you think those people felt who were not initially invited to the banquet, but who were brought in? I bet they felt grateful. Grateful to know that they are part of the kingdom. Time at a playdate with Jesus should change us so much that we might even say, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When we leave with a goodie bag filled with things like God's love, forgiveness, and peace, and hope, and joy, we ought to act like grateful people. People who have had that experience. You can't pay it back, but I think you can pay it forward. Or in a series about a playdate with Jesus, you can play it forward. If we've been blessed, if we know what it is to have a relationship with Jesus, then we would want to throw playdates for people. We would want to share that good news with everybody that we know. If we've been blessed by Glenmore Church, it would make sense to me that as a response of gratitude, we would say, how can I move from somebody that's been invited to this party to somebody that helps host it? Maybe that's through the giving of our time, our talents, and our treasures so that we can throw Jesus playdates for others. We move from guest to host, from invitee to inviter. I bet there might be some people in your life and in your circle who would be blessed by things like this service of worship. Why not share it with them? This playdate is for them too. Everything we do at Glenmore Church is essentially a playdate with Jesus. It may look like a service project, a pop-up food pantry, a Habitat for Humanity house. It may look like bags of sandwiches delivered to our unhoused neighbors. It may look like a chili cook-off entry to benefit bridges to housing stability. It may look like a Bible study, like the ones we are offering this fall. It may look like a prayer shawl or a call from somebody at Glenmore that you may not even know that just says, hi, I'm from Glenmore. We're calling to ask, how can we pray for you? Is there anything you need? How are you doing? Do you want to pray right now? It may even look like Walk to Bethlehem, which is going to happen in a COVID-safe way this year. May not look like last year, but it's going to be amazing. It may look that way, but really it's a party, it's a play date that Jesus has asked us to host. You know what I think it might sound like? It might sound like a magnificent Lessons and Carols service as a musical offering for this Advent and Christmas season. Adapted for this pandemic time that we're in. That's how I think it might sound. When you've been invited, loved, forgiven, and redeemed, when you're invited to a playdate with Jesus, I think it changes everything. You can't pay it back. but you can pay it forward. And if you've been invited to a play date like that, I think it's a no-brainer. You play it forward. Amen.